Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Come out of hiding, you're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before, you knew it was love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. And I'll be your lighthouse when you're lost at sea. And I will illuminate everything. No need to be frightened by intimacy. No, just throw off your fear and come running to me. Oh, 'cause I loved you before, you knew it was the love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the
this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Here we are, Pastor Adams, and I'm here with Pastor Stephen Tay today.
Hello.
And we're looking at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. I enjoy looking in the scriptures, especially I like the book of Acts. I guess I don't know what it is about the book of Acts. It really kind of depicts what our life should be like in Christ. As a believer and as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the we call them the Acts of the Apostles, but they're really the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. So these Acts that happen through these early apostles, they are for us today, too. These same kind of acts, we should expect the Holy Spirit to be working in our life because we're living in the end of days, and he promised that he'd pour out his Spirit in the end of days, and those things that happened in the early days are going to happen in the end.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And this gives us a good sort of thoughtful paradigm for thinking about how should our lives look, the passage we're seeing today.
Yeah, and you know, we look at the world we live in, and we look at all of the evil. There is a lot of evil in the world. All you have to do is look at the news and see people being beheaded for their faith and all kinds of things that are happening. But the same kind of evil was active back here when the Romans were ruling the world with their fear and their mongering and everything that they did. And there was all kinds of evil back then also. So there hasn't been a lot of change when it comes to the way things are.
No, no. Sometimes we perceive, and there is a sense in which things degrade and get worse, but also there's a sense in which, as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely the truth. And we're going to pick this up, like I said, in verse number 42. So I'm going to read this scripture, and we're talking about fellowship that takes place between believers. And it says in verse number 42 of Acts chapter 2, if you have your coffee or your tea and you're in your chair and you're ready to listen.
I forgot mine.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Mm. Now, that's a very powerful message there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And I'd like to look at that as saying that if you haven't been in church for a while, you're really missing the boat, because this is what we're talking about, devoting yourself to the teaching of the Word.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the apostles at this time, they're proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus and what it meant. They didn't have the Bible, like or the New Testament, that is, like we have it now, but they're proclaiming what they had seen and heard of Jesus. And that's what we do at church. We proclaim what Jesus has done and how he still works in our lives.
So the idea here is devoted. How many of you are devoted? I know sometimes today it's difficult. We say, well, we're devoted to church, but my son has a basketball game. Mm. My daughter has a musical recital on Sunday.
Yeah.
We talk to the student and the teachers and to the superintendents of the school systems, and we've asked them to try to limit the activities on Sunday morning, but they just don't seem to be able to do it, or else they get things from parents saying, we don't have any other time, our own self, our life is so busy. But this word devoted, I think it's very pointed to the fact that the parking lot of the church should be full on Sunday.
Mm. And, you know, it really reminds me of priority.
That's it.
Devotion does. I know that as a parent myself, there are a lot of things that you can teach your kids, not just by what you say, but by what you prioritize in your life. Mm-hmm. And so if you're coming to church every Sunday, you're sending a message to them, even if it's over a game that they had or they wanted to do something else. You're sending a message that we put God first in our lives. We're devoted to him.
Yeah, that's pretty excellent. I know Pastor Ken always says that he was drugged. He was drugged as a kid. And he wasn't talking about alcohol or any kind of drug medicine. He's talking about he was drugged to
the church.
He was drugged to church.
I think I fit in that camp too.
You didn't have a choice. You just went to church.
Yeah.
I can remember as a youngster when we go out of the church building. It was interesting because we went to a church and we weren't quite sure where the preacher really was theologically, because he was growing, this is way back in the 60s, he was growing marijuana in his garden, the church garden, and he preached on boycotting lettuce and all kinds of crazy things like that. And every time we'd walk out the back door and shake hands with the preacher, my mother would always look at him and say, Alan, we're praying that God would save your soul. So it was an interesting time for us when we went to church, but devoted, you know, you just didn't miss it. I mean, even as a child, I had 12 ribbons that were on my jacket when I go to church. It was all for Sunday school, going to Sunday school, yep. 12 years of Sunday school. It was something that it was very much part of our culture,
yeah,
going to church. And here they're devoted. They had this was something that they planned on doing every Sunday. They were going to go to church. And so now we're reading this here, and we're reading the Bible, and we're saying that what happened in the early church is something that should happen today. The evil was just as bad then as right. it is today. The problems they faced back then were probably as wicked and as difficult sometimes yeah. as today.
Yep.
And we're saying that they devoted themselves.
And the temptation toward being apathetic or lazy, same temptations.
Same thing. So what we're saying is that what they did back then, devoting themselves to the teachings of the apostles by going to church, is something that you need to consider. If you have not been devoted to going to church, this is something you should do. And yep. I know the culture today will not reward you for this, because there are many people that do not see the validity of the church nor the need for absolute truths in life.
But you'll be rewarded not only in the sense that of a spiritual reward that God will give you, but in the sense that the Word of God will bear fruit in your life.
Right. And when you look at the next word that we looked at, not only did they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, but to the fellowship and the breaking of bread. Now, the fellowship, I always tell people that come to church and they find Christ and they make a commitment to Christ, I always tell them that, you know, one of the greatest challenges is for you to keep that faith in your life, because the enemy tries to destroy what God does in your life. So I tell them, if you want faith, you have to get around people of faith.
Yeah, that's right.
And because faith is something that you catch. You actually can catch it. It is something that's transferable. You see an act of faith in somebody's life, and it encourages your faith,
yep.
and you hear somebody testify about what God has done in their life, and it encourages your faith. So here, if you will devote yourself, if you will attend church and you'll fellowship with people, you'll break bread together, go out on Sunday, or just spend time with people of faith, you'll find that it will benefit you, your family, and everyone in your household.
Yep. It just like the Proverbs teach us to be careful who we hang around with.
Yeah.
The same is true for Christians. We not that we shouldn't be around people who are not Christian, because we need to be the light of Christ, but we need to have times of fellowship with believers where we're receiving that encouragement in our lives that will help to spur us to be the light of Christ. Stir one another up to love and good deeds.
It's truly important to have that kind of fellowship. Now, I have a nephew who was placed in jail for a short period of time because he was involved in a bank robbery. Now, what happened was he was his friends asked him if he would drive this car. And he said, I don't know the truth of this. He could have been involved, but I doubt it. Just knowing him, he was just sitting there waiting. And he didn't know around the corner that they were going to go around, rob a bank, and back and get in the car. And he was caught. They were caught, and he had no idea what was going on. He was hanging around the wrong people.
Yeah, guilty by association there.
Yeah, but eventually the court did assume that he was correct, and they kind of let him out. And that was just something that I hope taught him a lesson. But that's something that can happen to us without even knowing it. I mean, you hang around with the wrong people, you can get in trouble.
Yeah, and the Bible talks about the church as the body of Christ.
That's a good point.
If you cut yourself off from that, you can't cut off a part of your body and think that it's going to keep living. You've got to be connected if you're going to remain alive. And the same is true of our fellowship with the church, with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
It is. And the most important part of this body is the heart. It's pumping that life-giving blood throughout the whole body. So you've got to keep your heart right. And that's what happens when you devote yourself to the teachings, because the teachings of God's Word really are focused on your heart. They're trying to keep you to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. But your heart is the key thing. So here, this is a very good, just one particular verse of Scripture. And he tells us you really want to have fellowship with believers. Yeah. You want to devote yourself to the teaching. You want to break bread together. And that's one thing I find at church, and you may find it too, that whenever you have a church supper or whenever you have anything to do with food, you get a lot more people come.
Yeah. If it's free.
Okay. Sometimes it doesn't have to be exactly free, but I know what you mean. Church suppers and food oftentimes fill the place.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that they're bad things, because I think there is here, they're talking about this breaking of bread. They're probably more talking about a communion here, talking about the idea of the Lord's Supper, continually recognizing what he's done for us. But in the particular Lord's Supper back in the early church, I'm sure it was connected with food.
Yeah, the whole meal probably, like the original. And in that meal, they gave thanks and remembered, recentered their lives on what Christ had done. And I know, Pastor, you can probably say the same thing. I don't know how many times I've talked to somebody and said, Pastor, I was almost not going to come to church this morning.
Yeah.
But I came, and it was the best decision I could have made. It encouraged me, and the people encouraged me, and the Word of God encouraged me.
Now, that's something to think about when the enemy places a thought in your mind that, I don't feel like going to church, it's not worth it today. You know there's something good that's just going to be around the corner when you get attacked like that.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, and I know in the Asian culture, because we spent 18 years working with Chinese, and when you had service on Sunday, it was always followed by a complete meal.
Mm.
And everybody shared together. And sometimes there were very unusual foods, but you just sat there and you enjoyed them, but they took this seriously. They took this breaking of bread seriously, this time of fellowship, because the world is so busy. I think that this time of casually being together, fellowshipping, and eating together, like we used to do with families. Even now, I find very few families really eat together anymore. And so let alone the church people eating together.
Yeah, and there's an element of the generosity of God that is transferred into his church, that part of this is demonstrating the breaking of bread together, and then we'll read a little bit more about that hospitality in the coming verses. But there really is this heart of generosity that comes with being a believer that we can nourish by being together.
Sure. Actually, you're talking about a spiritual and a physical sustenance that's taking place. You're getting spiritually fed by the teaching, and it's strengthening your spirit, and you're also physically being strengthened, which also is an encouraging thing to you.
That's true.
And it brings strength to you. So in the last part, he says, and also with prayer, and sometimes we misplace our values, and we complain more than we pray.
That's true.
And I think prayer is certainly something that we need to understand, that God answers prayer, and there are some things he will not do unless we ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer is important.
There's a real devotion. That word devoted applies to all these things.
Everything.
And there was a real devotion to their lives of prayer and to seeking God's kingdom. So we see in these verses a real high in the church, a real high point, that things are going very well. But even when the things were going well, they didn't stop praying. They're still praying.
That's right. That's true. But this is why people, sometimes you wonder, well, why do you have to go to church? Well, it's very important, because you yourself need spiritual strength. You yourself need to be taught. You yourself need to hear what God is doing in people's lives. You need to actually understand the strength, like Pastor Stephen says, in the body. Mm. There is a strength within the body. And that in this place, when you come, you can ask for prayer. And prayer is going to be answered. And so in the church, you'll find the wonderful sustaining power that you need for life. And that's the truth. I mean, you can find it.
Yeah. I find corporate prayer to be a really special time, a really invigorating time for me personally, because we all think about developing prayer lives and we think of it as a very personal thing, and that's true. But I find that when I'm around other people, it helps to focus my prayer. It helps to encourage my prayer when I hear others praying or see them seeking the Lord. And it really makes my time spent in prayer seem to go quicker, seem to be easier, and seem to help focus me. And so I just encourage people that this is an important thing, not only devoted to prayer as individuals, which we ought to be, but devoted to prayer as a church as well.
It is. And like, this is a very interesting time of the year because it's the beginning of the year, people make New Year's resolutions. Well, we in the church actually call times of fasting and prayer for the first 21 days in the month of January, where people devote themselves to reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, praying, yeah, and actually fasting. And as a matter of fact, Pastor Stephen has a true feast that comes up that takes place in this 21 days. This is where you're devoting yourself to time to set God first. And during this true feast, Pastor Stephen has many wonderful things that they do.
We're going to be feeding the homeless, practicing the generosity of God in feeding the homeless after we've spent this time sacrificing ourselves and are focusing on God and our fasting. We want to set that focus on others as well and do the work that God has called us to do in ministering and being the light of Christ.
So you actually pick up the homeless?
Yep, we pick them up. We bring them to the church. We feed them a meal. We try to share with them the good news of Jesus and make them feel special, because we believe that they are special, that God has a purpose and plan for each of their lives, just like He does for all of us.
And so they're picked up, they're brought to church, they're served a wonderful meal.
Yep.
They don't have to get up. It's served to them.
Nope, it's served to them like a restaurant. Yep.
Yeah, and so treat them.
We have live music on the saxophone.
How can you beat that? You've got music, food, fellowship, fun. And basically, we understand that the gospel really is designed for the poor. So it's a wonderful thing, because that's what Jesus told the disciples of John the Baptist when they weren't sure whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus says, go back and tell them that the gospel is preached to the poor.
Yeah.
So the gospel is designed for the poor. So this reaching out, breaking of bread, fellowshipping together, prayer, and some teaching on God's word, it's all part of this one verse.
Yep.
And it takes place.
It really helps set a pattern for our lives as a church.
And so this 21 days, we focus on fasting, no griping, no complaining, because we find that's one of the hardest things for any one of us, because our tongue is the most unruly member in our whole body, according to the scriptures.
Yeah.
If you can control your tongue, you're a perfect man, the Bible says. And so if you can control your griping and your complaining about everything in life, you've got a better chance at controlling other things in your life. Yep. And so we fast griping and complaining, but we also fast to be a benefit and a blessing to others. And so this word right here, just this one verse today, I hope it encourages you to devote yourself to the teachings, the fellowshipping, to the breaking, yes, of bread and the prayer. Pastor Adams and Pastor Stephen, God bless you. Have a great day.